The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Welcome to the Soul Mason Show!
Wherever you're listening in this great big world, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You can catch the Phil Mason Show at 5 p.m. Eastern on Max Sports Channels, at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Superstation Talk, TalkSuperstation.com, and at various times throughout the day on Armed Forces Radio and Cosmic Radio. I'd like to welcome you to the Phil Mason Show. We have a great show planned for you today. Later on, Eric Fleiss from Fantasy Baseball Cracker Jacks will be here to talk fantasy baseball with us. And J.R. Wilco from PoundingTheRock.com will be here to talk San Antonio Spurs hoops. But up first, from RedReporter.com, please welcome their managing editor, Mr. Brandon Crayley, to the Phil Mason Show. Brandon, what's up, dude? Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Phil. How's it going?
It's going great. It's always great to have you here, man. Always great to have you here. What's happening with the Cincinnati Reds, dude?
It seems like they're kind of getting their groove back together here. They won today against a long game against the Padres. Ended up taking that series and winning homestand. So we don't have too much to complain about in Reds land right now. Just kind of getting back with it.
Not at all. And when Brandon says today, he means Sunday, because that's when we are recording his segment that'll be aired on the second day of the week. Anyway, right. Mike Leake, this is a guy, you know what? What's going on with him? Because he's really not pitching that badly, is he?
Oh, no. I mean, overall, he's been one of the Reds' best pitchers this year. I mean, you can make a case that he's been the anchor of the rotation. You know, he pitched on the day we're recording, he threw seven innings of two-run ball, and really outside of a couple of rough ones, he's been really good. I think a lot of people are going to look at his previous start where he gave up seven runs in five innings against the Cardinals, but that aside, he's actually been really, really good so far this year.
Absolutely. I have him on my fantasy team. We push him every Tuesday on fantasy baseball. And I wasn't going to bring up that game from last week. Because, you know something? When you look at it, he did pitch halfway decent. St. Louis just couldn't stop scoring runs. They killed everyone. And it wasn't just him.
Oh, yeah. And that's just kind of the Reds' MO against the Cardinals right now. They just can't find a way to beat them at this point. So, you know, hopefully for the Reds fans, that'll change.
No, I think it will. It's a very close Central, and we'll get into that in a minute. But if you had to identify someone in the month of August that's been pitching outstanding, would it be Matt Latos?
I think it would be Matt Latos. I mean, it took him a little bit to kind of get his stride a little bit coming into the season. But, you know, when you look at the Reds starting rotation, and they've been one of the best rotations in baseball this year. And there's really no stopper like Matt Latos. I mean, you can count on him at this point. Is better than anybody that the Reds have.
He definitely is the stopper. Yeah, right now anyway, he is.
Yeah, I mean, and you're coming off of, you know, from the time of recording, he threw 7 1/3 shutout innings his last time out. So, you know, it's just a testament to the kind of year that he's having. And, you know, what the Reds fans can expect from him right now is just solid every time out.
And what's happened with Homer Bailey? Okay, he gave up a bunch of runs his last time out.
Yeah.
But he still won, I mean.
Yeah, it's that goofy win stat, obviously. You know, it's not always indicative of how a guy pitched.
Right, I know, yeah.
He really did not have his best stuff his last time out. But he made it into the ninth, his start before that. And then, you know, the previous couple starts, he had actually pitched better and then didn't get the decisions going his way. I think in Los Angeles, he ended up getting hooked with a loss on that game, and he only gave up 2 runs in 7 innings. So, you know, normally that's good enough, but, you know, it's been hit or miss this year with Homer Bailey. I mean, obviously when he's good, you know, he's throwing no hitters as he did earlier this year. But when he doesn't have his stuff, he will give up a lot of hits, and, you know, he's just, sometimes he just has trouble getting in mentally. I think that's really the biggest problem with him.
Yeah, I think you might be right. And Tony Cingrani, you know, people talk a lot of smack about this kid, but he is a rookie, right? And he's pitching pretty well in the month of August. What is he, 1-1? He's been a good addition to this baseball team, hasn't he? You can't expect much more from him, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're looking at a rookie putting up a 2.8 ERA right now. You know, really thrown into the starting rotation. He wasn't really expected to contribute there, but, you know, he's really hitting his stride right now too.
Absolutely, and he is.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of it's kind of a good story with him. You know, he has just been the guy who fills in whenever the Reds need him. You know, the Reds have had some injuries in the bullpen this year with Jonathan Broxton missing a lot of time, and then really the guy that they were counting on to, you know, be a lefty setup man in the bullpen, and Sean Marshall, really only pitching a couple times this year so far. You know, when Cueto was healthy, Tony Cingrani was really kind of the setup man in the bullpen. And so it's been interesting for Reds fans to see him kind of going back and forth between, you know, shutdown starter and shutdown reliever. And really he's excelled in both ways.
See, that's what people don't take into consideration, is that this guy has been up and down like a yo-yo. He's been in the bullpen, he's starting, he's doing whatever he has to do. And I just look at some of the things that people write, and I go, either one, you don't watch the Cincinnati Reds play baseball ever, or two, you're just an idiot, and it's time to move on.
Right.
I don't understand how people can vilify them, or him.
With Tony Cingrani, it's tough to really have a problem with what he's done so far.
It'd be very tough, too. Yeah, exactly. Very tough. And Aroldis Chapman, he's the man. How do you throw 102 miles an hour, dude?
Hey, he hit 103 the other day.
Oh, my God.
I know. And it's you know, we Reds fans really have it pretty good when it comes to getting to watch this guy pitch day in, day out. You know, he's really a shutdown closer at this point. And, you know, a lot of people around here have still, to this day, have expectations that one day he's going to be in the rotation and, you know, pitching 6 shutout innings a game instead of just the ninth. But, you know, right now it's tough to complain when you have Aroldis Chapman in the pen.
Now I have to explain something to the tennis people out there who listen to the show, because they think 103 miles an hour is nothing. And it is on a tennis court. I've got 10-year-old kids who can serve like that. This is a baseball field, and if you ever try to hit a pitch ball from someone who's standing on a hill at 60 feet 6 inches with a smaller hitting surface than what you have in tennis, 103 is called bringing the gas, my friends.
Right.
Yeah, I had to get that in there because I always get that chuckle. Whoa, 103 is nothing.
When you say 103 for a pitcher, I mean, nobody in the big leagues does 103 right now other than Aroldis Chapman. You know, that's just the kind of special arm that he is.
Or you're on Major League 3, the third sequel, and Wild Things out there.
Right.
That's the only way. Now, I saw something the other day that made me kind of chuckle. People are picking on Todd Frazier. He's not having the year he had last year. Well, of course not. It's his second year in the big leagues. default Todd Frazier. I know the game that I watched this week was, as I told you off air, was against St. Louis. And he had a tough time. He wasn't swinging with a lot of confidence. Have people given up on Todd Frazier locally, or is it just silly people in the national media?
You know, I don't think that people around here are really giving up on him locally. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously he's definitely we can call it a sophomore slump at this point. You know, he had his tremendous rookie year last year, and I mean, he was in a 0 for 40 something slump here just this past week before breaking it on the other day. So it's but at the same time, you know what you're getting with Todd Frazier when it comes to he's reliable defensively, and that's something you really want to see out of a third baseman. He's a really positive clubhouse presence. You know, he is really known for his personality around Cincinnati. You know, he's really loose guy, likes to joke around and keep things loose. And, you know, with a team where, you know, Joey Votto kind of sets the standard, you kind of need that loose guy on the other side to kind of maybe take some of the seriousness off. So, but, you know, I think as soon as Todd Frazier starts kind of taking some of that pressure off of himself, I think we're going to start seeing him hit a little bit again, because, you know, obviously we know that he can. It's just a matter of kind of getting past the mental block at this point.
And even if he doesn't have the season he had last year, ever.
Yeah. He can still be a productive third baseman in this league for a long time, I think.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And Jay Bruce, he's starting to turn it around. He's another one who last season pretty much carried the Reds when Votto was down. Yeah. Jay Bruce is turning it on since the last time you've been here, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, with Jay, he is always kind of a feast or famine kind of guy where, you know, he's either can't hit a ball to save his life, or then, you know, the next week he's just eating the snot out of it. So, yeah, he's got, let me see here. Yeah, he really was hitting his stride there at the end of July. That was really when he was turning it on. You know, he's hit a couple of home runs recently in August, but, you know, he's not really seeing the ball that well. But, you know, at the same time, you've got guys that are kind of starting to step up a little bit. And, you know, Joey Votto is hitting again. Shin-Soo Choo was kind of not hitting for a little while, and now he's hitting again. So with the Reds, the offense has been just a source of frustration all year long. So this is no different.
Yep, just like Tony Cingrani, up and down like a yo-yo as far as roles and what they have to do. But this is a good baseball team, and we talked about them on Monday with Steve Goldman. What are you seeing over there? Do you still think that Cincinnati is going to win the division? Because I happen to think that they will still.
It's really, really tough. I mean, you have two teams in front of them that really, you know, maybe before this weekend, I don't think, you know, you would have seen them slowing down at all. You know, you have Pittsburgh, who, you know, everybody's always down on Pittsburgh come this time of year because, you know, traditionally that's kind of what they do is, you know, they'll start out hot and then, you know, come August or so, they'll start losing. But they've managed to keep it going. They're the second best team in the NL right now. And then obviously you've got St. Louis, who, you know, they just have the Reds number, and it's, you know, they're definitely still overperforming too. So we'll see how that shakes out. I mean, I think a lot have to go right for the Reds to be able to get the division. But I think as long as they concentrate on winning, you know, beating the teams that they play, don't worry about, you know, the Cardinals and the Pirates, that they can at least get a wild card spot. And, you know, from there, we'll see what happens.
That's a good way to look at that, too. But yeah. Three games for Chicago coming up. What do you like in that series? This should be the chance for them to catch somebody, right?
Yeah, and I think this week coming up, this road trip that they have right now is going to be really definitive as far as what to expect from the Reds the rest of the season. They go into Chicago to play the Cubs for 3 games, and then they go to the bottom of the division, Brewers, to play them for 4 games. So really, they need to make a statement with this road trip and say, hey, we're still here. And just kind of hope that they can hopefully pick up a couple of games on the teams in front of them.
That definitely makes sense. That definitely does. They've got the Cubs, they've got Milwaukee, and then the following week they have 4 games with Arizona, who aren't playing that hot either.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely catching the Diamondbacks at a good time. So let's – and that will be a homestand. So, optimistically, as a Reds fan, I'm thinking, well, if they, go and do some work on the road, maybe 5-2 on the road trip, and then come back with a little bit of momentum, they can really keep that going on the homestand against Arizona, and then they play the Brewers again on the homestand. So, hopefully by the next 2 weeks, we'll know exactly what to expect from the Reds.
Exactly. This is a beautiful set of games for the next 2 weeks.
And then they go to St. Louis right after that. So
yeah, and then Colorado.
We'll know if they're for real or not by then.
Yeah, they have St. Louis a couple of times coming up, and L.A. Ooh. Anyway, these 2 weeks are going to be important. Brandon, great stuff tonight. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Pleasure.
Oh, we'll have you on as often as we can, because this is my favorite division this year. Is the National League Central.
For sure.
That was Brandon Kraling, and you can find him over at redreporter.com. Coming up next, J.R. Wilco will be here from poundingtherock.com to talk San Antonio Spurs hoops. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
Cosmic Music, 24/7 on CosmicRadio.com. CosmicRadio.com.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
TalkSuperstation.com.
That's right, the superstation of talk.
Talking to you each and every day.
We have a lot to talk about.
Monday.
Government is not the answer. Health is the answer.
Hey, guys, I'm here.
Tuesday.
The Yankees are always good.
We are going to go for old-timers.
Well, I think I feel. I'm a Mets fan. We have clothespin.
Wednesday.
You and I are staying put.
Thank goodness, because I have no socks on, and staying put is what I need to do.
Thursday.
I would love Martin Sheen
actually decided to run for president. I would vote for him.
Friday.
You know how hard it is to get a topic not about sports on ESPN Radio? It's about as hard as me introducing sports on this show.
Saturday.
It's time to party.
And Sunday.
How can we respect anyone in Washington, D.C.
Every day, we talk to you.
Sit back and enjoy this.
TalkSuperstation.com. Talk spoken here.
Are you tired of boring sports websites that's about the same old company line? If you are, then I'd invite you to stop over to thesportsgoons.com. Their edgy commentary and a weekly podcast highlighting today's issues is second to none. That's the Sports Goons, www.talkspokenhere.com. The new media has arrived. Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show. This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit philnasons.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination. Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. And joining us tonight from PoundingTheRock.com is Managing Editor J.R. Wilco to talk a little San Antonio Spurs basketball. J.R., how you doing, man? Welcome to the show. A different day for you.
Thank you. You know what? It's okay. It feels like Wednesday night.
Well, it'll feel like Wednesday night in a couple days, too. You'll make two appearances this week.
But it's actually Wednesday night? Well, hopefully.
Yeah, but I appreciate you filling in at the last second there.
No worries.
Oh, it's awesome. Anyway, great article that you wrote.
Thank you, sir.
On your site here, it's Kawhi Leonard aims to be an NBA superstar. And this is based off a quote from an article written by Mike Monroe.
Well, actually, it was Monroe wrote a story about it. Really, what happened was this is not breaking news by any means. But news is where you find it. And this was from Spurs.com. It's Kawhi Leonard, and under videos you can see off-season update Kawhi Leonard. It was added like 9-10 days ago, and it was when he was at the Incarnate Word at the gym there doing the basketball camp that the Spurs do, and Patty Mills was there as well. I think he was there on a different day than Kawhi was, and it's essentially the standard questions. You know, the kids really seem to be enjoying themselves. How's your summer going? How's the knee? Are you going to play for the Olympics team? You know, all the standard stuff. And then they ask a couple of questions, you know, just surrounding, you know, what he's going to be working on in the off season, and, you know, what his approach is going to be. And, you know, everything is as Spursian as you would want, right? I mean, like straight out of the Pop playbook. You know, he says he wants to become a better player, better than he was last year. Just trying to keep improving. I'm trying to be a great player one day. You know, it's all standard, you know, not headline stuff. And then Mike Monroe asks him about if he wants to have his name on the All-Star ballot. And he says, it's a goal of mine already, just trying to be an NBA superstar, an All-Star player. And that, for me, for a fan, it just blows my doors off, because it's enough, first of all, that he's actually talking and even kind of halfway smiling, because we need confirmation that he's capable of those things in public. We know he can do them. It's just that he just doesn't do them in front of us all that often, right? Very private, very focused. You know, he's on the court and it's all business. So that's great, actually, to see, you know, him engage with the press. But to say that is just, you know, it's just a different level, because everything up to this point has been, that's any question that anybody asks him, it's just a compliment to be asked that question. I'm just working hard. I'm just trying to go. And, you know, now there's all kinds of revelations in this 7-minute, 8-second video where, you know, you know, Mike Monroe talks to him about the fact that, that Popovich said that he was actually going to call plays for Kawhi this year. And Kawhi says, yeah, it's a long way from when Pop told everybody there that he wasn't going to be calling plays for me. And so he understands the responsibility that the added role is taking on. And all of those things seem to be, it seems like all of those good chickens coming home to roost, you know, in really cool ways, because, you know, Pop has said he's going to be the face of the franchise one day. We all saw what he did in the finals and the way that he just grew as the spotlights got brighter and hotter and the nation watched it. Just he grew into that moment instead of staying the same or even shrinking. And just the way that, I watched a YouTube video of his post-season moments. And it seemed like every single time that he had somebody smaller on him, he's like, oh, let's go to the post. And it was just a number of really, really great moments that you just kind of get lost in the shuffle of the team losing in the playoffs the way they did. And it's great to be able to go back and remind myself of everything he did in the playoffs. And I'm just to know that he's taking it that seriously and that he's actually at least now comfortable enough with the idea of saying to media members that his aim is to be, or that he's trying to be an NBA superstar. That's big stuff.
Absolutely it is. You know, the thing is, too, is when you have a coach like Greg Popovich who actually comes out and says the things he says about Kawhi Leonard, that's got to provide extra motivation, too. And it's probably part of the reason why he actually did say the things that he says, because he's very humble off the court, from what I've been told. And this is one of the reasons that I say the things I say about the Spurs, is I've got a lot of faith in that kid. Last year, I picked him. I play fantasy basketball like a religion almost, and I'm pretty good at it, as you know. Yep. But I picked him, I think, in the second round, and people were like, what are you doing? And but he got hurt. And had he not have gotten hurt, he lost so much. And he really showed the NBA world what he could do in that 7-game series against the Miami Heat.
He really did. And I don't play fantasy sports at all anymore. I've really taken that out of my life. You know, I've got 5 kids, so you know, running the blog and talking to you is about as much as I'm good for anymore. So I can't say what kind of fantasy athlete Kawhi is going to be as far as what round he's going to go in, but you're going to see a lot of people, I think, taking him this year, because like I said, I can't mention names, but off the record, a coach of a NBA team, after his Q&A before on an off day leading into a Spurs game, said that he expected Kawhi to be the best player on the Spurs this coming year. Which, even if he was just being nice to the people around there, it wasn't for anybody's benefit, you know. But even if you take it off and you go, okay, second best player, he said it at least. And just the fact that he would be on that coach's mind in the way that he was just speaks volumes to me. And you know, this is what fans do, man. You know, they explode tiny little quotes in 7-minute videos that nobody else has jumped on that are like a week and a half old. You know, I think the things that people say, I think they mean something, and I think the way that they say them means something as well. You know, and the fact that he said that he's actually speaking it out of his own mouth, you know, in a candid moment toward the end of this interview, it means something. And I think the fact that, I mean, a lot of people when he was taken, they were like, well, you know, Spurs have got a good player. And then over the last couple of years, he looks more and more like absolutely a good player. And then where is his top end? And so the fact that he's actually gunning for that at this point means that that all the things that I've been hearing. I mean, my writers come back from practice sessions and they tell me the things that the Spurs are working with him on, and the fact that they're doing, you know, like there's a scrimmage going on, right? Like there's a silver and black game. With the club split up between them, and Kawhi Leonard's nowhere near it. He's on a different court over there with coaches working on post up, working on up and under moves, working on his Euro step. And this is the kind of thing that you do when you're like, well, what can't this kid learn? Let's teach him all of it so that he's completely ready. And that's the kind of thing that just makes a fan's heart glad, because with the Spurs this year, you would love to see Tim Duncan have another year like he had last year, but you can't count on it. You'd love to see Manu kind of bounce back and have a Spurs renaissance the way that Duncan had last year, but you can't count on that. You can probably count on Tony Parker being 31 years old and not having much fall off, if anything. You know, he's in his prime now. He's got a lot of miles on those 31-year-old legs, but they're still nice and young. And to be able to expect about the same from him, and then more from Kawhi Leonard, is a really exciting thing. And this kid just seems to have the entire package. And I would just love to see him featured by the Spurs offense, because before last 2 years, it's been spot up Kawhi, and if he picks up the ball someplace in the middle of a play, he can make something out of it, or he's diving to the bucket. Off of rotations of defenses, finding the soft spot in the defense. That's it. That's all he's really shown, and it's only been in the last half of his second season that he's really taken guys into the post, just commanded the ball when it's swung to him, and just his mid range game is just a thing of beauty. The guy shoots like 54% from that mid range area, which is, as you know, it's an extremely inefficient shot league-wide, and that's one of the things that makes Tony Parker so dangerous, is because he can make it past you on the dribble, and if you're hedging, if you're giving him room, then he'll just pull up and hit that 18-footer, and if Kawhi can do that as well on top of everything else he's got, then, man, I mean, the sky's the limit.
I would have to think so. And one of the most important things out there, listeners, is you need to see this video. It's at www.spurs.com. We can't embed it or can't put a link up for you, but head on over there and listen to that video, or watch that video and listen to how he says what he says, because I'm sure there are people thinking, well, he's trying to show off and he's talking smack and blah, blah, blah stuff. And that's just not the case in this video. But I think the sky's the limit for him. I think that coach is right. I think anyone who has any NBA sense at all, or any NBA IQ at all, can see that Kawhi Leonard is about to have a breakthrough year. But it's all going to depend on health, too, because he hasn't always been the most healthiest player either, has he?
Well, you know, he's had a little tendonitis in his knee, which is, you know, just it's one of those repetitive things. And so the Spurs gave him a lot of time off at the beginning of the season when they realized that he was starting to show signs of this. And so they gave him a good, well, I mean, they could have rushed him back, and generally NBA players will come back nice and quick, but the Spurs, they were winning, you know, how many games they won last year, they were not hurting for games. So they left him off the court a good 6-7, I think 8 weeks it might have been, a lot longer than they had originally anticipated, just to make sure that it was calmed down for the year. And so I don't know that this is necessarily a repetitive thing. I mean, everybody talks about how great the Phoenix Suns medical staff is, and they've done amazing jobs with not only Grant Hill, but Steve Nash, and keeping him on the court and all that kind of stuff. But the Spurs, you know, they work under the radar so much. I think the Spurs medical staff is underrated as well, because plantar fasciitis is one of those things that's just supposed to recur over and over again. You know, Rick Smits, that's the reason that that's the injury that ended his career as young as it was. And there are just guys that have been going on and on with that throughout their careers and just struggling with it. both Tim Duncan and Tony Parker over the last 3-4 years have each struggled with that injury, came back, finished those seasons out, and then did not have it recur. So the fact that they brought Kawhi back, and of course they treated him with kid gloves as they did all of their starters, most of them because they're older, but Kawhi because he had had that earlier in the season. But if they're taking care of him the way that they did with Tim, with his fasciitis, and with Tony as well, and I'm just sure that something's going on this off season. And I would not be surprised if that did not crop back up again. But as far as that link to the video that you're talking about, it is on. I do have a link to it in that story. Again, that's on poundingtherock.com. It's Kawhi Leonard aims to be an NBA superstar, and it's in the first paragraph of that story that video is there. That whole conversation, that part of the conversation, I mean, the entire thing is worth listening to. But if you're not a Spurs fan and you're just looking at it for fantasy purposes, or just an NBA fan, then it's about halfway through that those questions start getting asked. And it's amazing to hear him talk about that, because he's never talked about himself like that at all. It's always been over the top. He's gone, not over the top, and that's what he said today, but he's just gone out of his way to make sure to never make a headline with anything he said. And so this is the closest thing that I've ever come to witnessing from him.
That sounds good, and I'll leave a link to the poundingtherock.com's article, and you can go ahead and do what you have to do there. And you can read the comments, because they're interesting as well. But yeah, you're right. This is just not something that's normal for the Spurs players to do. But you know what? I think he's got the confidence to do it. Obviously, the San Antonio Spurs have the confidence to now at least attempt to feature him in the offense a little more. And that's, like I said before, that's why I just think that this is going to be an amazing season for the Spurs. I think 64 wins. I'm not kidding when I said that. I didn't just talk out the side of my neck, because he's not going to sit a kid like Kawhi Leonard like he sits Tim Duncan. And if Kawhi Leonard is the featured guy, which I kind of thought he would be earlier in the year when I started thinking about all these things, or I'd hoped at least, well, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, well, this is what Spurs fans were talking about at the end of the season and the beginning of the off season. It's one of the two things at this point, with the way that Pop is talking about calling plays for him, and with the way Kawhi's responding in kind. Again, completely staying humble, but like being specific about the legitimate kind of goals that he has, and that is, you know, is this the dawning of is the sun setting on the big three, actually the sun rising on the big four at this point? And we've got two more years of Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker. And if Ginobili can keep it together and stay in that group, then you got a big four. And if not, then he's a supplemental sixth man. Just not a sixth man that would start for any other team the way he has been through the majority of his career, but just a great sixth man. And then you've got the big three of Duncan, Parker, and Leonard, who all start. So, man, I mean, it's actually exciting times coming up, and it's interesting for a team that's been around as long as the Spurs to have, you know, this kind of fresh excitement about the team. And that's just what a young kid like Kawhi Leonard will do for you.
That's exactly right. And later on in the week, we'll talk about the big three. And what is the sun setting, or is it rising on the big four? It's a great topic. Anyway,
awesome.
JR, thank you so much for being on the show. Great stuff tonight.
All right, enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. That was JR Wilco, and you can find him over at poundingtherock.com. Coming up next, Jamie and Smith from the sportsgoons.com will be here. We'll talk a little Riley Cooper and a little Touchdown Johnny. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Phil Nason Show.
Cosmic Music, 24/7 on CosmicRadio.com.
CosmicRadio.com.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aurigi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aurigi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aurigihotel.com or email them at reservations@aurigihotel.com.
TalkSuperstation.com.
That's right, the superstation of talk.
Talking to you each and every day.
We have a lot to talk about.
Monday.
Government is not the answer. Elf is the answer.
Hey, guys, I'm here.
Tuesday.
The Yankees are always good.
We are going to go for old-timers.
Well, I think I feel. I'm a Mets fan. We have clothespin.
Wednesday.
You and I are staying put.
Thank goodness, because I have no socks on, and staying put is what I need to do.
Thursday.
I would love Martin Sheen actually decided to run for president. I would vote for him.
Friday.
You know how hard it is to get a topic not about sports on ESPN Radio? It's about as hard as me introducing sports on this show.
Saturday.
It's time to party.
And Sunday.
How can we respect anyone in Washington, D.C.?
Every day, we talk to you.
Sit back and enjoy this.
Talk Superstation.
I'm on the air.
.com. Talk. Spoken here.
Are you tired of boring sports websites that's about the same old company line? If you are, then I'd invite you to stop over to thesportsgoons.com. The Reggie commentary and a weekly podcast highlighting today's issues is second to none. That's thesportsgoons.com. The new media has arrived. Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show. This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit philnasons.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination. Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. We're winding things down on this amazing afternoon. And Eric Pleiss was unable to attend to make the show, make his commitment tonight. And while we miss him, we are fortunate to have one of our old-time, long-time friends who's busy doing his own radio show. Please welcome from thesportsgoons.com, Mr. Jamie Smith. Jay, what's up, man? Welcome back to the show. It's been a while. How you been?
Hey, how you doing, man? Since you took me under your wing, you told me to go fly away, so I branched off, and the Sports Goons Radio is taking off, man. So that's all I've been doing, working on that. Good to hear from you. Good to be back on the Phil Nason Show.
It's good to have you here, and we didn't, like, kick you to the curb.
No.
It was just because I'm doing more basketball and this and that, and you're doing your football stuff. You got to focus on what you're doing. You know, you're starting something new, and it's not easy to do.
No, it is not. As Phil can attest to today, it is not doing it. It's not easy doing it. So I just thank Phil for everything and the opportunity he's given me and showing me the way to put a good quality show on.
Well, we do our best, you know, but it's not easy. A lot of people think, well, you know how many guys, Jay, have come on this show and told me they're going to do podcasts and this and that and blah, 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 and asking me for all these advice and everything. Mm-hmm. All of them, and here's the thing, Jay,
most of these people, they work with five or six other guys and they're on their own website, and they can't even put together a time to do it. They're working together. They think it's so easy. And then they realize that it's not.
I have respect. I have a lot of respect for Mr. Phil Nason. This thing is not easy at all.
That's not why I brought you on here, but thank you very much. And I'll tell you what, you know what? In Jay's show, you can hear it each and every day at 2 p.m. Eastern on Max Sports Channels. It's an amazing, amazing sports station. And Phil LaCoury, the owner of Max Sports Channels, is very patient because I remember when I first started out, well, I'd already had a pretty good rhythm, Jay. And, you know, he's very flexible and he gives you a chance. You know, he understands how difficult it is to do these things. And that's a good thing because it's not easy to put things together. You have cancellations at the last minute. You know, I'm up at 5:30 in the morning. I've had to do so much juggling today. It's not even funny, but I'm glad to have you here. What's new on the Sports Goons Radio?
I talked about Johnny Manziel, what we're going to get into in a minute. The Riley Cooper racial slur, how to affect the Eagles and all the backlash from that. I also talked about quarterbacks who getting extensions, getting $100 million quarterbacks. Matt Ryan just got a brand new contract, and do they deserve it or not? So, and also just for the fact that football is back and the NFL is finally here, so I'll just give my takes on what I thought about the preseason so far.
And that's fantastic, man. That's fantastic. It's good stuff. You know, you love football more than anything else.
Yes, sir.
And that is great stuff. Great stuff. You know, this whole Riley Cooper thing, that was kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, when I first saw it, I'm always trying now to be generous because, you know, I'm accountable to people. And on this radio show, I get sued, you know. We're on Armed Forces Radio Network. We got a lot of people listening. And when I first saw that, what I thought it was one of those deals where, okay, you know what? Things were really heated. He got excited after a fight he got into and dropped the N-bomb out of excitement. Or he wasn't thinking. Or maybe he had a couple drinks. But then I started to think about it, and I wondered how many other times he had said that word in anger. Because now you and I both know. When you play with white guys, black guys, you know, when we play basketball, baseball, football. When I played basketball, I always took it as a compliment when one of the brothers called me that word because they were complimenting me. They weren't calling me nothing bad or out of my name or whatever. But this is a completely different thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is because, first off, let's just talk about some of the parameters and the factors about this. He was drunk at a Kenny Chesney concert. There's no black people at a Kenny Chesney concert. He's a country music star. He was talking about a security guard and whoever security was back there. He said he'll go back and whoop every bleep back there, meaning all the black people who are security guard, he'll go and whoop them. So when I first seen it, honestly, when I first seen it, I laughed. I was like, look at this idiot. And more than likely, he took a lot of pressure off of A-Rod and other idiots during that week because his idiocy. It was just a microcosm of the Philadelphia Eagles offseason, and it's just sad. It's sad to think that things go on like this in 2013.
Well, they do, and we've talked about that N-word before together on this show. You know, it's not a good word. And one of the things that Chris Carter came up with, he said something on Mike and Mike, and he is a fantastic Hall of Famer now, Chris Carter, one of my favorite all-time receivers. And he said, you know, the thing that bothered me the most and the thing that bothers black people the most, African-American people the most, especially those over the age of maybe 35 or 40, would be that word was the last word that a lot of African Americans heard before they were murdered. And that, he said, bothered him more than anything else. But it's just uncalled for. He's going to have a tough time. I think, you know, at some point the gap will be bridged. People do forgive each other. He's just going to have to demonstrate that this was not that this was an isolated incident, not something that happens all the time. And I think
and people talk about they should cut him and Goodell should step in. Me personally, I think the fine from the Eagles, and if he do get suspended, it should be one game, because you got to look at the letter of the law. He wasn't in trouble with the law. He didn't commit a crime. He just says I'm very stupid, and the Eagles are going to handle it internally. But at the same time, you're like, the Eagles should cut him. Yeah, you got they can cut him. They can cut bait with him. But at the same time, if you look at the Philadelphia Eagles roster, they need him. That's the main reason he hasn't been cut yet. He's a 6'3 wide receiver. They already lost Jeremy Maclin, tore his ACL. So they're thin, and Aurelius Ben, their other wide receiver, they're very thin at the wide receiver position. So the best thing they can do is go and talk to Riley Cooper, handle it in-house, let the team captains and the team leaders handle it, and just move on and try and win on Monday night versus the Washington Redskins when they see the start. That's all they can do. They can learn from this, grow from this, and move on from this, because it's going to be more bumpy roads down the line for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Absolutely, and there'll be some bumpy roads for Mr. Riley Cooper, because
when
he goes across the middle, somebody's going to take him out.
Uh-huh.
And rightly so. Hopefully they don't do it in a dirty way, because, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, but that was a bizarre story. And the other bizarre story, Johnny Manziel, Mr. Johnny Football, the Heisman Trophy winner from last season, the Texas A&M quarterback. What in the world? What goes on? What's going on with him in this autograph signing foolishness?
Well, go ahead. That's it right there.
Oh,
okay. Well, many of these autograph brokers, I mean, many players have done it. All these autograph brokers, they get these players to sign a bunch of helmets and a bunch of memorabilia, and they go off and they auction it and they sell it. Now, whether cash is exchanged with that player or not, that remains to be seen. It's been some cases where some guys have been caught. But with Johnny Manziel, what made his so interesting that he's on camera. I don't know if you heard the audio yet from it, but he has took money more than once. He pretty much admitted of doing this before. Johnny Manziel, he's a smart kid. He's a rich kid. He really don't need the money. But at the same time, you got to think about, like, what are you doing? He's just throwing everything away all before the season starts. And I commend Kevin Sumlin. Last year, he put Johnny Manziel, he had a muzzle on him. Nobody heard about Johnny Manziel really till about halfway through October. That's when Johnny Manziel really busted onto the scene and Texas A&M was winning. We never heard of this kid. But ever since then, he's been in the news almost every other week, and NFL scouts and NFL teams are taking notice of him. They are writing down notes about what's going on with this kid, and this $7,500, yeah, it is quite a stack of money, but it's not really the value of it. It's the principle of what he's doing. Like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, he doesn't make much sense, does he?
No.
It really doesn't make sense, but, you know, that thing is he's done this before. Maybe he wasn't talking maybe about money, or he was just talking about, yeah, I've been here and signed a bunch of things before, and I know not to do this because I'll get in trouble, people talk too much, or what have you. But it seems to me that it's just one thing after another with this young guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's invited to the Manning football camp, the camp that Archie Manning, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning run.
Uh-huh.
And he can't even turn up for that.
He was drunk.
Or whatever he was, or he was with some girl, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. And you have to wonder, what goes on with this kid? He's got an opportunity of a lifetime, really. And mm-hmm. he just keeps wanting to throw things away. Now, there's a lot of speculation that he wants to just bag this season and get out of it. Not get hurt so that he can keep his draft status and go pro. But all this foolishness that you see, add the fact that this kid isn't the biggest kid out there.
Nope.
And he does have a really good arm. He's got huge hands. He can throw the ball well. He's not a first-round draft choice, is he?
Well, without the foolishness, he's top 10. To be honest with you, I've read mock drafts and what scouts have said, that like teams such as the Cleveland Browns and even the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Jets, possibly, if he's available, they would take him. But now with this foolishness added on to what he's doing, along with his size and nature, teams are going to be backed off and scared away. What only way that he can probably go in the first round? I think he's a first round talent with a 7-round brain right now. He has to go out this season and go and perhaps win the Heisman. I won't say win the Heisman again because that's so hard to do. But go out and play football the way he know how to play football and lead Texas A&M to a national title. I think anything less than that, his stock is really going to take a hit because of the foolishness that's going on right now.
Yeah, well, he's got a big test in Game 3 against Alabama, right?
Yeah, that's the biggest game of the college football season. You know, the winner of that game probably is going to the national championship. That's how big that game is.
More than likely. Mm-hmm. But what about the possibility of him being suspended for parts of this season? How's that going to affect his draft status?
Well, that's the thing. He has to repair his image. If he's suspended, no way a scout right now is going to take him in the first round. No way if he's suspended. Because Texas A&M, they're going to fall to the wayside. We ain't got to worry about them this season. But if he's suspended, he's going to have to work hard during the combine. He's going to have to work hard in the offseason workouts. He's going to have to convince these scouts and these GMs that he is not that guy that you've been seeing the last 6 months on ESPN, partying and drinking and taking money and all that. He's going to have to pretty much beg, pray, be a whole new guy when it comes in the offseason to prove that he's worth a first-round pick, because teams not – look at the Aaron Hernandez. He went in the fourth round. Aaron Hernandez is a first-round talent. Aaron Hernandez is a top-10 talent that came out that year. Yeah, he did come out. He was one of the best players in the draft, but he dropped in the fourth round because of his off-the-field issues. You see that thing come to a head just recently. Now with Johnny Manziel, same thing. He's a first-round talent, but he can easily drop to the fifth and sixth round because of this foolishness. So it's up to Johnny Manziel right now.
Yeah, I agree with you because he's got his destiny in his own hands. Mm-hmm. And right now, I think his hands are covered with grease because he's slipping big. And that's an unfortunate thing. This is a 20-year-old kid. Sometimes I think people forget that these are young people still. This is a 20-year-old kid who obviously is not being led in the right direction, or he's being allowed to lead himself, and that's just not good. But one of the things that these NFL people are going to look at is his decision-making process. Mm-hmm. And lately, he hasn't made the best decisions off the field, and it makes you wonder, does that translate on the field? Did you take that chance with a first- or second-round pick? I probably wouldn't right now.
Uh-huh. And that's fair. On Sports Goons Radio, I brought up the comparison of Geno Smith and E.J. Manuel from his past year's draft. Geno Smith was perhaps a top-10 pick. He was a top-10 talent going in the draft. And E.J. Manuel, at the end of the season, was maybe a third or fourth round. But what happened was Geno Smith, he skipped the Senior Bowl. He snubbed NFL scouts. He didn't do good at the combine. He didn't do good at the workouts. He was being arrogant. He fired his agent because he believed that he should have won the first round. And what all E.J. Manuel did was he accepted all the criticism from the GM. He talked to all the scouts. He did the exact opposite of Geno Smith. And what happened on draft night, E.J. Manuel was the starting E.J. Manuel got picked in the first round, and Geno Smith went in the second round. And today, E.J. Manuel is the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, and he played good, where Geno Smith, on the other hand, twisted his ankle and looked terrible for the Jets in his preseason debut. So a lot can happen for your off-the-field stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, it should be interesting to see how this all plays out. Jay, thank you so much for being on the show, dude. Great stuff.
Thank you, man. No problem. Anytime.
And that was Jamie and Smith, and you can find him at thesportsgoons.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Mason Show. I want to thank Brandon Kraling from redreporter.com, Daryl Wilco from poundingtherock.com, and Jamie and Smith from the Sports Goons for breaking it home. We had a great show tonight. We talked a little basketball, a little baseball, and a little football. Tomorrow night, we'll be talking Mets baseball. Be great stuff. Until then, you all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly, thanks for listening. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you, and I thank you.